Our first scripture reading today comes from the book of Kings, 1 Kings. It's a follow-up on what Matt's been preaching about, the story of Elijah and the cave and the wind, and you know all that stuff. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord our God. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. Our New Testament reading is from Colossians. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So put those two images together. Silence. And in him all things hold together. Y'all will do some music?
1, 2, all right. "'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free, 'tis the gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shall not be ashamed. To turn and to turn shall be our delight, till by turning and turning we come down right."
Amen.
We all need a place of retreat from the daily pressures of living, from the all the things that storm about us, the wildfires of rage, the wildfires of the forests and the plains. When the earth shakes with uncertainty and the floods of change come, without such a place, we're exposed to the elements that threaten to destroy us and rip apart our little huts of protection and rob us of our days and our nights of peace and sleep. I want to speak to you today about such a place of peace, calmness. If you don't know it, I hope you'll try to find it or allow yourself to be found by it. The question we must consider is, how might we cultivate in our lives this resting place in the midst of the race of living? I believe there's a place that cannot be touched by the weight of responsibilities and the constant motion of life. Can you imagine that? A place that can't be touched by all the things that go around us. And let's explore how we might make regular visits to that place, that quiet, steady center of all things. Our forefather John Wesley once said to someone, that "Preach faith until you have it." Well, that's what I'm doing today. I have, over the last little while, have found myself upset over this and over that, and I think I said in the last time I preached, some days I want to explode and some days I want to collapse. So I'm attempting to find a resting place for me and hopefully for you too. So bear with me as we search together for this sacred center of peace. In 1944, that's before I was born. In 1944, the composer Aaron Copland produced a wonderful work called Appalachian Spring. Some of you know that. He partnered with the famous modern dance pioneer Martha Graham to debut the work. I suspect it's my love for the mountains and my connection to the Appalachia and to the Blue Ridge Mountains that helped me appreciate this work so much. I grew up in that kind of setting. One selection from Copeland's work is featured in the Shaker tune, Simple Gifts, which, Morris, we sang just a minute ago. "'Tis a gift to be simple, 'tis a gift to be free, 'tis a gift to come down where we ought to be." And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be the valley of love and delight. When the true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend we shall not be ashamed. To turn and to turn shall be our delight, till we turn and in turning come down right. The lyrics suggest that the goal of life is to come down right, to be at a place that has firm footing, to find a landing place where the troubles of life can't touch us. It's what Howard Thurman called an island of peace within our souls. An island of peace within our souls. There will always be stresses and strains, responsibilities and pressures in our lives. That never seems to end, does it? Can I get an amen? But there's also a resting place where the calm and assurance of God's love resides. And that's what we're looking for. It's the balm in Gilead, as the scripture says. It's the peace that surpasses all understanding and guards our hearts and minds. It is the island of security in the choppy seas of life. It's our cool in the heat of the day, if you will. It's a still place where movement of the world seems distant and the comfort of God seems near. The movement of the world seems distant and the presence of God near. It's where we learn what we're here for and not what we're against. It's what we need to pay attention to and what we need to ignore. Now, Jesus set this practice in this pattern for us. Scripture tells us that he would often retreat early in the morning or late in the afternoon from the pressing crowds and those thick-headed, drowsy disciples to get centered again. Now, I say thick-headed and drowsy. Why do I say that? Because he often found them asleep when he returned. they didn't somehow get it. I imagine he prayed not so much to change the world, but to get his own life in line with how he understood God to be. I suspect that most prayers ended with, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Now, we Methodists have often been compared to the figure of Martha, scurrying around the kitchen, busy as a bee, rather than her sister Mary, who's more serious and pensive. Mary sits at the feet of the Master. There's nothing wrong with active service, don't get me wrong, but there comes a time when we all need to be still and quiet to receive. I'm going to cough, so turn that down low, David. To receive the restorative graces of God and get our lives back on track. Back in Tennessee, when I was younger, I spent many days wading the trout streams of that region. It could be strenuous, even dangerous. Below the dam there on the river, when you heard the alarm go off, you knew that the river was going to rise several feet, and you better find a resting place before that water reached you. Anyway, I wore myself out doing so, but I loved it. But now and then, I would find a rock exposed from the water level, and I would sit on that rock for a while to listen to the flowing water, to look for the occasional kingfisher or osprey, and if I were lucky enough, to observe a mother deer leading her fawn across the river. When my supplies were restocked and my batteries recharged, I'd pick up my fly rod and look for the next place to cast. Are you with me so far? Do you ever realize that peace and stillness surround you and are available to you if you can only tap into it? Are you able to carve out of your daily routine a bit of time to reflect on the goodness of God and appreciate that close companionship. Do you ever consider what you're doing with this one precious life you've been given? Are you viewing, are you living the way you want to live? My Subaru has a feature. It's found on many of the newer cars and trucks. When you come to a stop or red light, the motor cuts off. Sarah always laughs when it starts up again. Does your motor ever shut off? Does it ever? Do you ever know the difference between being active and being still? Are you able to reflect and not just react to life? Do you ever just sit silently and take in the goodness of things, the life and the pleasure and the reassurance of a holy moment? We all need a moment where the scattered parts of our lives are organized in some whole, some completeness. A time when we know the presence of something beyond us has come to visit us. There were a lot of probing questions in the Bible. You remember God searched for the couple in the Garden of Eden, but the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" Adam and Eve had been eating apples, maybe green apples, I'm not sure, and now they were afraid of the consequences. He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." It's a geographical question. Where are you? But it gets an emotional and a relational answer. We hide because we're ashamed and afraid and don't know what to do with all the things of life. Perhaps we stay busy for the same reason. To be alone with God is both attractive but also threatening. Maybe we stay busy because we're uncomfortable with the meditative way of living. We stay busy to cover our anxieties and our fears. Have you ever heard the term workaholic? I'm sure that only has to do with money. It has nothing to do with internal stuff. Elijah gets a similar question. "What are you doing here?" God says to Elijah. He responds with the same answer we give. "Life is overwhelming me. It's killing me. I'm physically and emotionally depleted, and I feel all alone in the world." Beyond all the hullabaloo of politics and the obvious global environmental effects, beyond all the red and beyond all the blue and the purple, beyond our health, beyond our bank accounts, beyond our relationships, there is a still, small voice that reminds us to stop for a moment. Think of the imagery of faith that's found in Scripture. God is the cleft in the rock, the shadow of the mountain, the fortress and shield. None of this means that the storms of life will stop raging. Unfortunately, they don't. But what it does mean is there is a safe harbor which helps us ride out the troubles of the day. Thank God for that. Elijah did not find a resting place. It found him. He thought he was hiding from God, but God found him and answered his deepest and most desperate prayer and question. As Thurman said, "What we long for in our deepest anxiety is some haven, some place of retreat, some time of quiet where our bruised and shredded spirits may find healing and restoration." Where our bruised and shredded spirits may find rest and healing and restoration. The work of God is to grow the boundaries of our hearts and lessen our fears and prepare us. We know in the New Testament there's a famous passage of, "Be not anxious." I'm with you. Don't be not anxious. Don't worry about it. We retreat. We pull back, we find renewal, we prepare to return to the battle. And when we return, we've got a little less anxiety and a little less fear in our lives. The world will continue to spin, I promise you that, through time and space marked by birth and decay and rebirth. The nightly news tells that story. And most of the outcomes are out of our control. Have you thought about that? Most of what's happening in the world is out of our control. When we say, in Christ all things hold together, I would like to think there is an absolute center of existence where all the spinning stops. You know, there's some smart people, and by that I mean much smarter than me, who say that in the turning of a circle, there's an absolute still point in the middle that may turn, but at a much slower pace. That's what we're looking for. As the world swirls around us and gets us off kilter, we're looking for that place of rest and reassurance, where there's no centripetal or centrifugal forces to sling us about. It's where our lives are secure and are safe from all the pressures of living. We go there, and then we slowly return to the daily grind. Can't stay there. Sort of like the Transfiguration. You can't stay on the mountaintop. You got to go back to the valley. So we go there, and we slowly return to the daily grind, but with calmness and confidence that all shall be well. The urgencies of living aren't taken away. There's no way to do that. But they are whittled down to size that we might find a way through. Let me say this to you. If you're going through hell, keep going. If you're going through hell, keep going. There's a rest stop just ahead, and it's better than Bucky's. May you find yourself resting in the steady presence of God. The peace of God is awaiting you. Amen.